welcome to the Age of Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We dispose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. Radio show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show again. Thank you for joining me. It is September 7th, 2015. Mondays are the days that I bring you some nuclear alerts and other information. You know, this morning I had planned to talk to you about the social engineering. I am kind of nonplussed about how people just basically accept the fact that we're being hit by a Mack truck and they're just laying down in front of it, being rolled over it again and again and again. And, you know, this is why it's really important for us to take to the Internet and to find different venues of information, because mainstream media is not going to tell us actually anything. They're just, it's a propaganda machine. They just give us bits. They create the mood for the week, and we just follow along. It's like being in the ocean with a wave, and you just like get pounded over and over again. And that's kind of where we're at. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard about this thing about September 23rd, this anxiety that's going around. I just got wind of it last week, and I found it really fascinating. I saw several videos, and because I saw several videos, I read several articles. I followed up. They were talking about September 23rd is going to be like, boom, the D-Day, when the axe is going to fall, I guess, on the economy. Bunch of different ideas. But, you know, this is really the idea here. Whether the world is going to fall apart on September 23rd or not, we actually need to be prepared anyways. You know, what I saw was that there's a big gigantic meteor headed our way and we're going to have major impact. And that's what the Jade Helm thing was about. I don't know if that's true. See, this is the hard part about living in our so-called information age, is there's all kinds of information, but who knows if it's true or not? You know, I mean, we don't know. We're being fed a pile of crap. And some of it might be decent. Some of it might not. It's kind of been a tactic. And it really is really intended to do one thing, to get us off our game. Because we know that we are actually being attacked by corporate, not corporate America, but the corporate world. You know, we know for a fact that the NRC lies to us, the technologists lie to us, that the pharmaceutical companies lie to us. On Friday, I kind of started to get into an internet argument with a girl who is 18 years old, who has been on medication most of her life, since she was 7 or 8 years old, that vaccines do not kill people, they do not cause autism, we know for a fact, and blah, blah, blah. And I started to argue with her and present her information, and I thought, this child's 18 years old. She's been on medication most of her life. And this is exactly, you know, it's called Brave New World, I guess. I don't know if it, I hope most of our listeners have read those two books, 1984 and Brave New World, because if you haven't, you need to read them immediately. They were written as science fiction novels, and I guess the oligarchs decided to use them as operating manuals because they've sort of implemented everything in 1984, which was written, as a matter of fact, by George Orwell as a warning to people of what could happen. He saw what was going on. He originally wanted to call it 1948 because he projected that we would live in this totalitarian state by the end of World War II, and his publishers required that he change the title. So he changed the title to 1984. Which, ironically enough, when we hit 1984, most of us were stunned at the level of fascism that had already sunk in by then. I remember thinking about it then. There is no way I would have thought 20, 30 years later, moving forward, that people would just accept the fact that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission knowingly lies. You know, this morning, the headline news on, I often go to the Guardian magazine online, theguardian.com. It's a European magazine, and it kind of gives us a different, you can get actually world news, and it's a different thing. I do believe, though, that the Guardian is run by that evil monster, Murdoch, who believes he's better than everybody on this planet. But one of the articles, it says, Japanese gang war feared as largest Yakuza syndicate splits. Thousands of Yamaguchi Gumi members form new crime organization at weekend after being kicked out for disloyalty. Well, that kind of piqued my interest because, I don't know, many of us have read this, that as of, this was a story that I tried to get the latest story. I went back and looked online. As far back as December 13, 2013, we have a report here that says Yakuza gangsters recruited homeless men for Fukushima nuclear cleanup. That was written on Forbes magazine. December 30th, 2013, Forbes magazine under and the Energy Department. So they're talking here on one hand how this is one of the richest organizations, gangster organizations ever, okay? Last year, Fortune magazine said the organization was worth $80 billion, folks, $80 billion, making it the wealthiest organized crime group in the world. By contrast, Sinaloa, Mexico's largest drug cartel, was worth $3 billion. So how did, when I read this, I was like, huh. So I wonder if the fact that they're worth $80 billion, I wonder what their net worth was before 2011. I, you know, we read these stories and they just like, next. We just shuffle along, no big deal. Last week's story, like the story from, I guess it's now been almost 2 weeks, that 6 million people in America are drinking uranium, tainted uranium water. 6 million people, we don't even hear about that. What really shocked me about that story was that it was 89 times over the allowable limit. Not just there's some uranium in the water, but 89 times the level. And this gets back to the social engineering. This is why in the age of fission, we must talk about the social engineering. because it is not an accident. It is not an accident that we are shuffled along, move on, because these are all short-term gains. The people that, the 150, the 500 people who actually own, I think what they say, 90% of the wealth on the planet, those people actually, like, they're all about short-term gains. We're talking about a Japanese gang syndicate helping out clean up Fukushima, being reported by Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine is considered to be a, quote, mainstream, quote, conservative news media, news outlet. And they're talking in 2013, Yakuza gangsters recruited homeless men for Fukushima nuclear cleanup. How in the world did Yakuza gang members get the authority to recruit homeless people in Japan in 2013? Here we are, 2015. Now, do you think they stopped recruiting homeless people? We're a year later. Do you think that that has actually stopped? Below these official subcontractors, a shadowy network of gangsters and illegal brokers who hire homeless men has also become active in Fukushima. Ministry of Environment contracts in the most radioactive areas of the Fukushima prefecture are particularly lucrative because the government pays an additional $100 in hazard allowance per day for each worker. This is such an outrage, people, that we have to live through this. You know, we really must get active and find our own resources and actually not just sign petitions. We need to call our, we need to pressure the elected officials to actually have some courage. Because we are in a time where I just don't understand it. Honestly, I am nonplussed by the lack of, I don't know, the lack of humanity. You know, check this out. There's this really great, there's a website, and I want people to go here, at least sign this petition, if nothing else. I hope that many of you are back east that have listened to this, but it's www.stopthegreatlakesnuclearedump.com. Most of you back east understand that Canada is 100% intent on dumping nuclear waste right in your own backyards. Not just dumping it, burying it under the Great Lakes. They're going to destroy the Great Lakes with nuclear contamination. They're going to intentionally bury nuclear waste right next to the Great Lakes, right beside Lake Huron. That's their plan. Ontario Power Generation plans to bury radioactive waste right beside Lake Huron. And unless people stop it, and refuse to let it happen, it is going to happen, folks. So we need people that, and not just us get actively engaged. We need to tell every single person that we know about it. Just like me, I'm telling everybody I know about the Columbia Generating Station. Like, it is outrageous. There's a full-on assault right now. We don't need to wait for World War III. World War III is happening right now. The attack is on, and they're starting it right here in our own backyard through the nuclear and technology dump sites. You know, attacking 6 million people with uranium and acting like that's no big deal, that's an attack on humanity. That's an attack on America. The nuclear industry has got to be stopped. It is an outrage that nothing happens. And this is why it's important for us to really search this information out, because we are not going to be told. It is just not going to happen. So, you know, one of the things that we can do is really decide that we are going to pay attention. You know, I don't know, this thing about September 23rd just popped up over the weekend, and I have a feeling that the September 23rd freakout date thing has a lot to do with social manipulation. You know, most of us, the big thing when 2000 came along, oh, we're going to lose the internet. 2010, oh, we're going to have this big alignment crash. Now we've got 923. Whether it's real or not, we still need to be prepared because we know that the collapse is coming. We know it. We cannot deny it anymore. And in fact, there is absolutely nothing that, I mean, it's kind of like I have this phrase now that says, you know, they can lie about radiation, but the radiation is not going to lie about the harm it causes. They can lie about the harm that radiation causes. Radiation will not lie about the harm it does cause. Because I don't know if many of you go to Fukushima Diary, and I hope you do, and I hope you support them. There's a story on today. All of five Japanese special monument ptarmigan, ptarmigan, they're these little birds, died in the Yuno Zoological Gardens. All five of them died. They had five, and the last two ptarmigan had difficulty eating since the last of the month. No virus has been detected, but they had holes in their heart. You know what that's caused by? Cesium-137. We already know that. This is the thing. The radiation levels, it's not like, oh, we're getting radiated. Radiation actually causes harm to our hearts, to our internal organs. It causes people to have diabetes, causes people to have heart attacks. It's not just getting cancer, folks. We are being bombarded, and they can lie about all they want, but it's not going to go anywhere. So, look, I don't know about you, but I go to the SGT report to read about different articles on here. And one of the things they're talking about is the coming collapse. And we really do need to be prepared. That was an article by Michael Schneider today, the Economic Collapse blog. That's the name of his blog. And he posted a really great article about, you know, we have got to be prepared. And most people act like they're going to be blindsided when we've had plenty of time. And most of us don't want to prepare because we're afraid that it'll make it all real. Well, it is all real. We know something, whether it's going to be September 23rd or next year, it's coming. We already have Fukushima poisoning the Pacific Ocean. We are seeing dead whales. We're seeing dead animals. And I don't know about you, but there are dead trees all over the place where trees are just dying at a weird rate. So, look, I want to get to the NRC reports this morning. We only had 4 days of the NRC alerts because, as you know, today's the holiday, so they didn't put anything out for today, for this morning. On September 2nd, let's go to September 1st. On September 1st, there was only, was there one or two? There was a few warnings on September 1st. This is the kind of stuff that if you read these, it's just, it will blow you away. Event numbers, okay. This was out of Mount Vernon, Illinois. A potential issue regarding incorrect industrial irradiation dose. Okay, so essentially what happened on this one is New Therm International was notified by Styris Isomatics Services that the applied radiation dose reported on their component irradiation certificates did not account for all uncertainties involved. What does that mean, all uncertainties involved? Okay. They identified one customer with a potential impact to the conclusions of the equipment did not have the capability to perform further evaluations to determine if a defect exists. So this is a company who basically, what they were talking about on this one is their instruments underreported the dosage. And so this is a person who's getting radiation therapy, who's having to rely on a corporation whose equipment is not up to par. And this is what you put yourself. Anytime anybody takes this radiation treatment, you are relying on unreliable corporations to give you the correct amount of dosage. And this is not the first time I've seen this. Oh, don't we love this? The next one is MCAS Cherry Point in North Carolina. This is the Department of the Navy. Huh. Notification date on 8/21. The event date, this is interesting, on 7/31. So it took them a month to decide to tell the NRC. Lost or missing aircraft ice detector. Great. Fleet Readiness Center radiation safety officer was notified that an H-53E ice detector probe was missing. The ice detector probe contains a solid 50 microcurie source of strontium-90 sealed within a metal casing. The RSO was notified about the missing probe by the H-53 task manager. The last known date and location of the ice detector probe was November 4th, 2014. Huh. In the aircraft line fiberglass repair shop, it is believed that the probe has departed FRC East and M Marine Corps Air Station, Cherry Point, as scrap or trash. Huh. To prevent the further occurrence, the following actions will occur. The aircraft line will include a mandatory task line to remove the ice detector probe from the duct at any time. A training course will be established. Nice of them to set up a procedure now that they've lost the fucking equipment, isn't it? This material contains less than a category 3 level of radioactive material. Sources that are less than IAEA 3, category 3 sources are either sources that are very unlikely to cause permanent injury to individuals or contain very small amounts of radioactive material that would not cause any permanent injury. What the fuck are these people talking about? I love these phrases, would not cause permanent injury. Has anybody ever heard of radioactive contaminants not causing permanent injury? I haven't. You don't just like decide to get sick and then nothing happens. It always causes harm. The end result always causes harm. So, Waterford, Louisiana, the next one. Potential unable to safe SD accident mitigation. Here's an accident mitigation. This one is really kind of disturbing. Both emergency diesel generators declared inoperable. This is in Waterford, Louisiana. Wow. This is a non-emergency notification from Waterford 3 on August 26, 2015. A emergency diesel generator A was declared inoperable following a trip of EDGA on generator differential. Technical specification, they give a whole bunch of like numbers and things like that that I'll spare reading to you. Was entered due to the exhaust fan not starting when the diesel engine was started. Troubleshooting determined that the EDGB exhaust fan did not start due to a intake damper not opening. Action was taken to isolate air and fail in its open safe position. Wow. Okay, so then they have an update. So they're telling us that these emergency generators don't work in Louisiana. That makes us feel great. Okay, so this is the update. It was updated. Okay. Waterford 3 is currently in TS 3.8.1.1 actions B and D. Don't you love it? They just give us like these technical things. They don't tell us exactly what they're doing. I guess we need to read them NRC code manual and then we'll understand all these words, right? This event is reportable pursuant blah, blah, blah. So they're taking corrective actions, but in the meantime, let's just hope that Waterford, Louisiana doesn't have any major event because they'll be screwed. How's about that one? That's shocking. So then we go on to September 2nd, which only had one event happen. And this was in Bowling Green, Ohio. Let's see. Prostate treatment underdosement. So this has been retracted. It turns out that somebody who was supposed to be receiving a described dose did not. It was initially an underdosed, did not receive the underdose as initially reported and does not qualify as a medical event. So they basically retracted and said this person got what he was supposed to get. Wow. I think if it ever got to it, I don't think I would ever take radiation treatment, people. I just don't think I would trust any of these rat bastards. I'll tell you what, it's unbelievable. So let's see, now we're on to September 3rd, the notification event report. There were quite a few on this date. The usual fixed gauge shutter stuck in the open position. Where was this? Covington, Louisiana. Oh, Bobby Jindal's broken economy. That's sure working for Louisiana, isn't it? I think Bobby Jindal is leaving his state with the biggest deficit of all of the governors, the exiting governors. Bobby Jindal, like, basically whacked every single thing. And so the people of Louisiana suffer quite a bit. One of my best friends lives in Louisiana, very close to Covington. And it's a very poor state, and people have no services. And you're pretty much screwed if you are poor and you don't have family to help you out. You go hungry, or you go to Catholic services and beg for food. Back to this report. Fixed gauge shutter stuck in open position. Update from Rusty Grimsley to Daniel Mills. In accordance with 10 CFR, submitted verbal notification. We are submitting a written report. This test operator, Chevron's Jack St. Malo Oil and Gas Production Platform, is equipped with a Trocadero Trasero Profiler Model T240 Fixed Density Profiler. It was discovered this profiler shutter was in the open position and would not close. It confirmed that the shutter would not close. The initial investigation indicated that the density profile source and detector tubes were bent, prohibiting the movement of the shutter. I wonder how it got bent. Oops, it got broken and accidentally run over. The profiler source container 62 americium 241 sources. What? The profiler source tube contains 62 americium 241 sources. 30 millicuries per source for a total of 1,860 millicuries. Wow. If the entry of the separator with the source is still in place is deemed necessary, Trocadero will implement appropriate radiation safety measures to minimize exposure. How fucking good of them. There has been no exposure to the platform personnel, although the shutter remains in the open position. No one has entered the separator, and no radiation is detectable at the exterior of the separator. The separator is coated in insulation, covering the manways that provides access to the interior of the separator. Can you believe this? Let's go to the update. The incident investigation indicated a deflector plate inside the test separator became disconnected and struck the profiler. Under the supervision of Trasero, the entry was made into the vessel and the damaged profile removed and returned to Trasero's Pasadena, Texas facility for repairs. The deflector plate was reinstalled in the separator per manufacturer's inspections. The profiler was not installed. Well, how good of them. They actually took care of it, and they don't tell us how it ended up being broken. They just tell us it was broken. So the next one is in Braidwood. The facility is Braidwood in Region 3 in Illinois. It's a power reactor. So what does this say? Condition that could prevent pressurizer PORV block valves from operating. A design flaw. Here we go, folks. Don't you love this? A design flaw was discovered with the pressurizer power operated relief valve, block valve control circuitry. Specifically, the circuit deficiency for which a design basis fire in the main control room or cable spreading room could prevent the block valves from being closed from the local control switch at their Associated Motor Control Center. And they call that Associated Motor Control Center the MCC. They just initialize every single thing here, folks, just to fuck with their heads. Engineering has reviewed this issue and determined that a potential fire-induced ground, that a potential fire-induced ground in the MCR or cable spreading room could clear the associated control power fuses, which would prevent the block valves from operating in the local control switch. Wow, so this is a design flaw so that they couldn't stop the fire. That's essentially what I'm reading. So now there's an update. There's a blah, 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 talks a long time about it, and then there's an update at the bottom of the page. During the extensive condition review, an additional design deficiency was identified with respect to the PZR-PORV and PZR-PORV block valves. Specifically, the current mitigating strategy for removing the PZR-PORV control power fuses does not adequately prevent the PZR-PORV from spuriously opening due to fire-induced hot short. Further, local actions to close the associated PZR-PORV block valve at the motor control center may not be effective because the motor control center may not have electrical power during the design basis fire. Therefore, the credited safe shutdown action to remove the PZR-PORV control fuses does not prevent the PZR-PORV from spuriously opening during design basis fires in some of the upper and lower cable spreading room. So let's just cross our fingers and hope to God this fucking place does not have any problems, right? That is just annoying. They just put this out as if it's no big deal. And this is if anybody's living near Braidwood, the facility is Braidwood in Region 3 in Illinois. It's a power reactor. It's an unanalyzed condition. So if there's anything wrong there, folks, people living in that area really need to pay attention to all of the alerts in that area because they have a design flaw and you'll be completely screwed. And guess what? They are not going to notify us in the event of something fucking going wrong. They're just not going to notify us. Here we have another one in Illinois. Boy, Illinois is being hard hit. You guys are being attacked by the fucking NRC. Byron, Illinois. Non-emergency and unanalyzed condition. So is this the same thing? It looks like it's exactly the same thing. This event is being done. It can't possibly be the same number. Let me take a look at the same numbers, you guys. I want to make sure. 51334, 51335. So this is a different event that was reported. What the hell? So maybe they found them in a different place. These valves are considered to form a high-low pressure interface, which requires postulating a proper polarity DC cable to cable fault. Engineering has reviewed the circuit design and cable routing associated with PORVs and has determined their associated cables are routed to the other DC, could potentially cause spurious opening. So this is actually essentially the same thing. So maybe what they did, it says this one has been retracted. So 4334 has been retracted, but 4335 was a new one. These people are really unconscionable, you guys. I do not know how they live with themselves. You know, I still have not gotten that story out of my head from last week where the janitor was cleaning up a room in Enid, Oklahoma, picked up some radiation, and some fucking doctor diagnosed him with overexposure to mold and stuck him with some cortisone shots and said, "Move along, you're just fine, fine, no problem here." It's unconscionable. And I am grateful that people listen to this radio show because I hope that, you know, this will encourage people to get actively engaged. These people are, they're not just lying to us about small things. They're lying to us about big, gigantic things that not only affect our well-being, but the well-being of every fucking creature on this planet. And it is an outrage. I mean, we're living in anxiety every single day trying to figure out how to cope with the onslaught of corporate attack against us. It's, you know, I have to say that this is one of the reasons when I found the SGT report, I actually really appreciate it. The title of it says The Corporate Propaganda Antidote. And that is exactly what we need. We need a bunch of little websites like this all over the place, which is in fact where I go. I go to Who What, I go to the SGT report, Who What Where, Who What and Why dot com. You can go to Greg Palast. There's a bunch of different places where we can go online now. When they slam the internet shut on us, I hope we're all prepared because, you know, we're going to have to really dig to figure out how to live through that. I don't know about you, but I think that they are going to shut the internet down on the average human being. So let's get to the very last event notification report issued September 4th, 2015. There are several of them. 51346, event number 51346 in Birmingham, Alabama. Oh, here's another one. We love this. Doesn't this really encourage confidence? Abandoned gauge found in scrap metal. Right. So now we have an abandoned gauge. You remember how these gauges disappeared? I guess we could do some investigative work and we could probably figure this one out, right? We could follow out to see which gauges disappeared and then how long it takes for abandoned gauges to be found in scrap metal. We could mark them on a map and probably piece out together where they came from. Because the likelihood is that a lost gauge would probably be in a scrap metal yard pretty close to where it got lost, so-called lost. I wonder how much money these people make illegally selling the radioactive material to God knows who, but probably a lot. On August 25th, 2015, Sam Price, Environmental Health and Safety for Nucor Steel, Birmingham, Alabama, notified the Office of Radiation Control that a load of scrap received from Covington, Georgia, had set off radiation monitors and was reading 11.0 millirems per hour and has been identified as cesium-137. Representatives from the Office of Radiation Control investigated the load and confirmed all measurements that were previously taken. The load was segregated and a single fixed type gauge was discovered in the load. The gauge was contained only an unreadable general license label, which was still attached, meaning somebody scratched the fuck out of it so they couldn't tell who it was. No other labels or markings were identified. The shutter appeared intact but partially open. The gauge had been secured in place and was awaiting pickup by an appropriate driver being provided by the scrap metal dealer in Covington, Georgia. Wow. That's interesting. Wonder where that came from. Okay, this is event number 51350. This is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Contamination in an uncontrolled area. Wow. The state of Oklahoma reported the contamination leaking from BA-137 generator was discovered in a shed at the University of Tulsa. It is estimated that approximately 1 millicurie of cesium-137 used in the generator was leaked. The same thing this Trocero licensed in the state of Texas was using the generator for tracer studies on the University of Tulsa equipment under a reciprocity agreement in the state of Oklahoma. Wow. The radiation safety officer at the University of Tulsa surveyed the area on 8/25 and obtained. Annoying. Can you imagine? This is what I keep thinking about. How many of these events have happened that all of us have just never paid attention to? What levels of radiation have we really been exposed to in this country? I mean, is it just so bad now that they're deciding to tell us? Like they can't keep it out of the news? 6 million people have been exposed to radiation exposure. 6 million. That's not the other millions of people, like in Los Angeles, in Simi Valley, where the very first nuclear meltdown happened. They don't even tell us about that type of radiation that's out there. And we wonder why we have autism. We wonder why we have, like, childhood cancer in this country. That's off the charts. We're being run by a government that, it's shocking. The government really is just short-term protecting the profits of the corporations without any regard to human life or life on this planet. And they are lying about it as easily as they brush their fucking teeth. Wow. It is stunning, folks. Let me see if we can get back to this or if there's any repeats. Nope, here's one. They lost a seed, an I-125 seed. This is in Oakwood Hospital, Dearborn, Michigan. This material contains less than a Category 3 level of radioactive material. They were informed that I think this is iodine-125 seed count and storage did not reconcile with the written directives and the pathology log. The storage vial is one seed short. Instead of 30 seeds, there were only 29. So how do you lose a radioactive seed? Has it been updated? Let me take a look. Radiation survey of the stored tissue specimens for these cases revealed no radioactivity. Licensee reviewed the radiographs for each tissue specimen, and the count was 30 seeds. It would seem that the pathology assistant mistook the marker clip to be an iodine seed and put it in storage container, and the actual seed somehow got discarded as hazardous waste in spite of the documented procedure to survey everything that comes in contact with the specimen to be surveyed with a Geiger counter. Oops, they threw away a radioactive seed. Sorry, folks, it went away. At least it was discarded with a hazardous waste, right? I honestly, the negligence is beyond compare. And you know what that speaks to? That speaks to the fact that people believe the lies. They get so comfortable with listening to the fact that, like, if any of you listen to the WPP hearings that was posted, Miss Milky the Clown posted them up. Also, Libby Halevy did a story on this. And then these people were actually saying that, oh, we're really proud that none of our workers have gotten sick from the radiation levels that have been exposed. We followed procedure. What's really short-term about it is nobody really gets sick within the first year or 2 years. It takes 5 to 10, 15 years for radiation to really affect people. So for these people to just keep patting themselves on the back and saying, we're doing a good job, Brownie, don't worry about it, we're doing great. And then when these people get sick in 30, 40 years from now, the government looks at them and says, what? We didn't do anything. It's unconscionable. Again, this is like, I guess, Mondays are the days of me ranting about how unconscionable the whole entire technology, and John Goffman had it completely right. It wasn't just the nuclear cartel. It was all of the technologists. They all completely deny the harm that they cause. There are attorney firms in this country who make billions of dollars, millions of dollars every single year suing pharmaceutical companies for gross negligence. Back to this NRC alerts. We only have one or two left for September 4th. This is September 4th. Texas Department of State Health Services, College Station, Texas. Oh, great. Cobalt 57 source lost during shipment. Has there been a retraction of this? Let me scan down. No, there was no retraction of it, so we have some material being lost. On August 27th, and we're now in September, okay, that's not too far, the licensee notified the agency that 100 millicuries of cobalt 57 source had been ordered by one of its investigators and shipped to the proper address for the licensee, but the source had not been received. They reported that the investigator had checked around noon on the status of the order with the radiation safety office. The radiation safety office staff learned that the investigator had ordered it without following procedure and going through their office. So they had not been aware that the source was supposed to be coming. Huh. The carrier opened up an investigation. I'm skipping through this because it's kind of long, folks. A search has been conducted of the building it should have been delivered to. The staff questioned if they had received it or knew of the person who signed for it, and the RSA searched the staff and student directories and checked out the university's police department for the signer's name with negative results. They checked through the university's police department for the signer's name with negative results. At approximately 16:30, that's 4:30, the RSO made the determination that the package was missing and reported it to the agency. Wow. They stated that the team will begin canvassing other buildings in the morning and will continue to locate and will continue efforts to locate the package and identify the signer. That is just fucking shocking. So some radiation got delivered to a university and they haven't got a fucking clue where it went. Wow. Okay, so what is this? Quad Cities, Illinois. Illinois is really getting hard hit, and they want to bury the radioactive waste near there, too. This is like, what is going on with this? Why do they hate Illinois, or what's the deal? I wonder who the elected officials are in Illinois that are so pro-nuclear that all this stuff happens there, and nobody pitches a fit. Like, none of their elected officials are jumping up and down. This is an awful lot of things happening in Illinois, folks. So what does this say? Quad Cities, Illinois, Region 3 Power Reactor. It's called Plant Technical Support Center Maintenance. Plant maintenance activities will commence today on the Quad Cities Station, TSC. The activities involves inspection and replacement of the TCS charcoal absorber trays and canisters on the filtration portion of the air handling unit. You know what this means, folks? Today and for the next 2 weeks, this area is going to be bombarded with radiation. So you need to keep your kids in, your dogs and animals in, and stay inside for the next 2 weeks. Work on the charcoal absorbers affects habitability of the TSC during the declared emergency when radiological conditions require activation of the filtration portion of the AHU. The duration of maintenance is currently planned to begin September 2 at 2100 hours and is estimated to be completed by September 3, 2015 at 1100 hours, depending on any conditions discovered during the inspections. Since restoration from this maintenance activity is expected to take longer than the required activation time of the TSC, this notification is being made. Well, actually, that's kind of good because at least we know. I'm glad that I read this today because whoever is living near there is being exposed to radiation today and tomorrow at a rate that is higher than normal. So let's be specific about Quad City. This is the facility. It's called Quad Cities in Region 3 of Illinois. So if you're in Illinois, you probably know where the Quad Cities reactor is. Update provided. The maintenance on September 3rd, the maintenance activity was completed. So that means that this happened. It started, I guess, last week. But, you know, whenever they have these alerts, it takes about a week for the or 2 weeks for the radiation to get back to normal. So it's extremely important that people that are over there keep track of this. You know, this is one of the big issues. In my view, this is one of the big issues that happens in America that I find unconscionable. They do not warn us about when they're doing their maintenance. And a lot of that has to do with the propaganda machine that we're dealing with. I mean, we deal in this country, and I think probably worldwide. You know, the fist of fascism definitely has its fingers around our throats, and we are being squeezed tight. And this is why we come to UCY.TV Radio, because we can find other information. And frankly, I'm going to do a little bit of self-promotion of this radio station right now, because people do need to be listening to First Cup in the Morning with Jules. She reports, does an awesome job of reporting about the vaccines and things that are going on with our computers. There's information on her show that you will not hear anywhere else. Same thing with Dane Wigington's geoengineering show. There are things in there that I've heard, and what these people do is they actually, like me, they go to government sources and they read reports that are just out there on the internet waiting for us to read them. But who thinks about going to, I mean, I know I didn't, before this whole event in Fukushima happened, I never once went to the government website. I never once even thought about it, that the government would be lying to us. I actually really believed before this whole Fukushima event that they might want to get involved in like war profiteering and that kind of thing, but I thought it was just about murder, death, kill, and not just absolute ecocide, which is what these corporations are engaged in. It is ecocide. We already, we've been hearing stories in the last 2 weeks how Gaza is completely unlivable. Well, if anybody was to watch what was being bombarded on them in the last 2 years, these the weapons that Israel is bombing the Gaza with is not regular weapons. Those are probably depleted uranium weapons. They explode like little depleted, little tiny bombs, nuclear bombs. And that's what's going on. So look, I see that we have just about 10 minutes left here on the show. I just finished with the nuclear alerts. I still want to encourage everybody to go to the NRC website and put your little 2 cents in about the hormesis, the no, we want to maintain the no threshold, the linear model, the linear no threshold model, instead of going to the hormesis model. The NRC has extended the date till November 19th, and I think even if we just keep doing it, we need to tell them that we expect the government, even if the news is bad, to tell us what the news is. And we don't want them to not be measuring for radiation. I don't know how many of you feel about it, but it to me, it speaks very clearly to the fascism that is taking hold in the world right now, that the Japanese people are being forced to move back into Fukushima. They have done what, a 5 kilometer radius as being the exclusion zone. They're giving a death sentence. I mean, they can allow people to move back in there and they'll live there for 3 to 5 years, and then they're going to just start getting sick and dying. And will we hear about it? Probably not, folks. We probably will not hear about it. And that's just going to be the way it's going to be. It's a shocking world that we live in. And this is one of the things Thomas Ackerman talks about, is our conscience. Our conscience. We have to enter this world and try, make an effort to make it, leave it a better place than what we came in. And right now we are sorely pressed. We are not doing a good job of it. There are very few of us who are out here really actively engaged in working, actually picking up our telephone and making phone calls, getting our bodies in the street. There are pathetically few people willing to actively change their lives to stop the nuclear cartel, to stop the technology industry, to stop the big pharma industry, to stop the banking industry, who frankly is probably at the root of it. I'm hoping on Wednesday that I can have a short interview with a woman named Carol. She goes by on her YouTube channel. It's called Weeping Willow 2, Weeping Willow 2. She is basically a disabled woman. She's been disabled for over 20 years, and she has been an advocate for disabled rights in the state of Kentucky where she lives. She went through a bankruptcy. Her home was excluded during the meltdown. She got a bill for $40,000 from the company that bought her deed from the original bank. And now JP Morgan has it. It went to Capital One, and then JP Morgan has it. It got sold to them. So it was like sold, sold, and sold. And she's been fighting with them for 5 years. She's about to be evicted from her home. The judge basically decided against her, that they have this right to evict her from her house, and her house is being foreclosed. This is very reminiscent of what happened in the Great Depression. Many, many, many people after the crash of 29 went through the very same thing, where they owned their home, and then all of a sudden the bank popped up. It wasn't a gigantic bill, but popped up a bill that said, "You owe us money." So I'm hoping that we can talk about this. I want to bring this crisis to people to make it personal, because these crises that happen to us, we read about them and then they just become last week's news. Like the Iranian, the 6 million people, last week's news, that thing that I read last week about the Enid, Oklahoma. And I'm actually going to see if I can find out. I'm going to do some research to see if I can make some contact with that janitor who got exposed to that radiation and was giving a cortisone shot. Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but that's kind of my goal for the next couple of weeks. We're also working here in the Northwest to close down the Columbia Generating Station. We need people to contact their local water boards, and in fact, we can do this across the country. Contact your local water boards and tell them we do not want to have nuclear power as a source in our energy system. We need to close down nuclear power plants, and we need to spend money to do it safely instead of just ignoring the problem, which they've done from the very, very, very beginning. There has been no money spent at all, virtually no money spent, attempting to figure out what can we do. All they plan on doing is burying this stuff. They're not spending any money looking outside the box of what can actually be done other than murder, death, kill. And if all they can do is create nuclear weapons with this stuff, then we need to demand. I mean, it's on one hand we have this, we want peace, and on the other hand we're creating the most destructive product ever known to life on this planet, and we're continuing every single day that a nuclear power plant operates. We continue to make more nuclear waste that is more destructive to anything that's ever been on our planet. Now, I heard Dave Wigginton on geoengineering saying he thinks the chemtrails are the biggest catastrophe we have going on, because they're spraying aluminum at rates that are just killing everything, essentially. So he was talking about how there's a lot of connection between the chemtrails and the bee collapse, because I think the bees had something like, I don't know, 59% higher aluminum in their bodies than was lethal. So no wonder they're collapsing. This is the kind of information that gets shared on UCY.TV radio. And this is why it's really important to share this station with other people, because we need to bring together all the facts and force our elected officials and force the corporate moguls who run these things to have a come to Jesus moment, to have this, like, oh my God, we're about to kill it, all life on this planet. And there is nothing deep enough that will allow them to bury themselves underground. And you know, how disrespectful of these people to say that they're Christians. Honestly, I find that so disrespectful. They claim to be Christians, and yet they're willing to kill all of God's life on this planet. And you know, the hypocrisy has just got to stop, folks. It's time for us to forgive each other, to really walk in love, to really be love, to really decide that love is greater than fear, that happiness is resistance. We don't have to be miserable. We can love each other. There's a lot of joy in love. This is how people thrive in war-torn places, because they cling together and their love gets them through. And guess what? We are currently under attack, whether we recognize it or not. We are being attacked by the technology industry, who is gaining for short-term gain. They are willing to perpetrate ecocide and kill all life on our planet. It's up to us to stop it, to get informed, to get active. And I really appreciate everybody listening to the sound of my voice and supporting this radio show, because it's time for us to edify each other, boost each other up instead of bringing each other down. We'll talk to you guys soon. And I hope that in the next